I'm excited because next weekend marks the 21st Cape Town International Jazz Festival. It's happening at the Convention Centre. 31 acts gracing the four stages. Overseas musicians include Matt Bianco and Tunde from the Lighthouse family. I used to love the Lighthouse family. Absolutely loved the Lighthouse family. Whatever happened to them? Well, clearly they're still making music. Is it just Tunde coming, or is he coming as part of the Lighthouse collective? En famille. I'd like to know. As with previous years, organisers ESP Africa have been sure to include a number of local artists. This year, Zoe Morija and Jimmy Glulu are among those who will represent, as well as our profile guest for this morning, Cape Town-born multi-instrumentalist, composer and raconteur Hilton Schilder. Globally recognised, he's got more than 40 albums under his belt. In fact, he's working on his 45th album. Thank you very much indeed. And I had the pleasure of catching up with him via Zoom in the week. Take a listen.
Good morning, Sarah Jane. How are you?
I'm really, really well. I'm really excited for the Jazz Festival. I want to take you back. You just asked me, are you in Joburg? And I said, no, I'm here in Cape Town. So your hometown. Whereabouts did you grow up, Hilton?
I was born in Wynberg, but I grew up in, we moved out of Wynberg when I was quite young. I was about 6 or 7, we moved out, and I grew up in Lotus River.
So you really are local, and I'm down the road in Plumstead, so I know Wynberg very, very well. I imagine it's changed an awful lot since those years. What are some of your memories of growing up in Cape Town, and perhaps your earliest musical memories?
My earliest musical memory is we lived in this house in Wynberg in Abbey Road. And I distinctly remember sitting at my dad's feet while he was playing piano, and, because they used to rehearse at our house. So all the musicians used to come there. It was a hanging place for musicians, you know. So that was my early memories. My early memories is of music and lots of love and art. My mother was an artist. And so that's what I've been doing my whole life. Since I was the age of 3, I've been playing music and doing art. And that's what I've done my whole life. I've never worked for a bar.
I'm fascinated to know from you, Hilton, around what age did you realize, and maybe it was very, very young, maybe a little bit older, what age did you realize the power of music beyond the beauty of melody or the, feeling a great rhythm? At what point did you realize that the universal language of music and its power?
Well, I think I realized that from a very early age, actually from 3 years old, as I was playing with my dad. I felt this immense calm and control, you know, when you're playing music, not control, but, you know, you have certain power over, almost like you have a power over elements. It's like a magic thing, you know what I mean? In fact, when I was a kid, I thought that people that didn't play music, I thought there was something wrong with them, because I'd only been exposed to music, you know, in my childhood. And so growing up with this sonic journey that I went on, I started very young. But when I started realizing that I wanted to be, I think I was in my teens, you know, when I realized that this is really, really what I want to do, you know. I'm not going to sway off this path ever. Even though my mom, you know, get a job, something to fall back onto, you know, I didn't believe in that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I did sign writing when I left school, you know. But it wasn't for me. I was earning more money while I was playing in a band, you know.
Take us back to those early days. And deciding, right, this is what I want to do. And you are out and you are working as a professional musician quite young. What are some of your memories of that time? And I imagine that was really, you know, that was your learning curve, right? That was you were paying your dues in the music industry from such an early age. What are some of the, maybe some of the artists, some of the performances and play, whereabouts were you performing back in the day?
When I was, in fact, the first time I went with my dad to actually go and perform. Look, I was very young when I used to play with him. I was about 9 when I used to sit in on the drum sometimes, you know, I used to go to the gigs. But when I was in the trick, my dad took me one night with him to this place, the Kensington Inn. And it was a group called the Four Sounds with Cliffy Moses and Basil Moses, the Moses brothers. and there's a guy, Billy Dolly, on drums, and my dad was on piano. They went through a lot of piano players, but my dad at that time, I went on, because I was playing percussion that time, and then I went on stage with them, played congas for the first time. And it was absolutely, I was addicted, man. That smell of the cigarette smoke and, you know, the booze smells and just the music, you know. But the next day when I woke up, my hands were swollen double their size, you know, because these, it's congas, it's not bongos, you know. But anyway, I went back the next night. But yeah, I had a good old laugh, you know, my hands were so big. But I got used to it, and then I started playing percussion. And then after the four sounds, I joined a group called Big Daddy, which was Trevor Parker, Mac McKenzie, Alvin Dyers, Ruben Samuels, and myself. In fact, all our fathers had played together in that band from Big Daddy. So all our fathers had played together. And that was when I was in matric. So I had a pretty wild school time, you know, being in a band at school, you know, it's just quite a attraction, chick magnet.
Listen, I mean, you play 16 of the instruments, 16 instruments, indigenous and conventional. It's such a hard question to ask a musician who is a multi-instrumentalist, and perhaps it's an unfair question, but do you have a closer relationship? Are your instruments like your children? I mean, do you have a closer relationship with some than others? I mean, I imagine you love them all, but are there some that you pick up and you're closer to?
Yes, I love all the instruments that I play. The closest instrument that I've gotten to really love is the piano. You know, because I mean, it speaks to you. It's straightforward. You can see what you're doing. You know. I play a lot of other instruments, but I've kind of narrowed it down now to playing the bows and percussion and piano, you know. I hardly even touch the guitar anymore now, which is sad because I really love the guitar. But something is, you know, it's got to be a right time to be. And with a guitar or any instrument, you got to spend time with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you still practice, Hilton? Do you still? Yeah. I don't know whether it's, it feels odd to ask somebody like yourself, this you know, this legend of music, whether you still practice. But do you still practice?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, practice as in, I don't sit and practice scales and stuff like that, but I sit and play. I make sure every day I sit down with the piano. In fact, I'm sitting at the piano now.
Wow.
You see, so while I was waiting for the Zoom call, I was just getting in. I got some nice ideas here. I don't know if you can hear that.
I can hear it. I tell you what, you know, I come from quite a musical family, and there is something quite wonderful about having a piano. It's such a privilege, but to have a piano at home. And I've got two small children, and I was thinking yesterday, I really must, if I can, get a piano. I mean, they're very, very small, so they might be a bit too young to start kind of having lessons. But even just having the instrument in the house...
It's never too young.
Never too young, for sure.
My grandkids, I've got four grandchildren. The boy is 9 years old, but the girls were all born in February. Three twins from my daughter and another one from my son, my son's wife, you know. So these three girls came along, they called Aurora, Kate, and Amy. And they've been influencing the music to a great extent, you know.
Really?
It's that kind of, you know, yeah. It's lovely because I've written out this piece and we've recorded, because we're in the studio at the moment. We're busy recording up my 45th album.
Unbelievable.
I've done number 45 album doing that.
Hilton, tell me something. When you're 45 albums in, 45 albums deep, one would imagine that you have a formula, that you know what works. But I wonder if I took you back to album number one and then through the progression, I mean, how much has your recording process changed when it comes to the development of an album, if at all?
Well, look, nothing much has changed in the day, because we come from a time when you go into the studio and you put down four or five songs in a matter of an hour, you know what I mean? And then do the mixing. So I come from that school of, there's not enough money, so you go in and you You know, you have these 3 hours to do this amount of work. So I still work like that. In fact, there was only one album I did called Alternator, which is one of my favorite albums. I worked on that for a year with a guy called Johnny Blundell, you know, from the Blundell family. And we worked on this album for a year, and I really enjoyed it because I'd go in like for 2 days, and then we'd leave it, let it breathe a bit, and then put down and put on. And then eventually what came out was absolutely beautiful. That was Alternative. And then like an album like we did with Rock Art, that's where I found out that I was playing 16 instruments. You know, Rock Art was me and Alex van Heerden, who tragically died at the age of 35. He was in a car accident, you know. He was my partner in this concept we had called Rock Art. And we did two albums. Yeah, we did two albums. The one post, the first one we did in Sweden, in Stockholm, in this lovely studio. It was summertime, so the sun was shining all the time. And we did this. And then I realized, wow, I counted the instruments. It's like 16 instruments, you know, that I'm playing on that particular album.
Sure.
It didn't, I'm only counting like, you know, I'm talking like, I found this little organ. The whole album is completely acoustic for me. The only electric thing I'm playing on these Fender Rhodes.
Wow.
It's a really nice album. I really enjoyed it. Actually, I love all the albums that I've done, you know.
Yeah,
They all have a certain.
There's something special about a Rhodes piano that I think I fell in love with it when I was
Oh.
listening to Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder, and I think that for me was that Rhodes sound. It's just beautiful. It's interesting to hear you talking about how you go about producing an album and that live element. So I wonder what you think of music that's coming out now, where an awful lot of it isn't live music, isn't live instruments. I mean, listen, all music has a place. Music is about individual taste, isn't it? But what are your thoughts about some of the new artists coming out and the new ways of producing music?
Actually, it's really nice. It's fast. It's much faster. You know what I mean? But of course, the human element is missing, you know, because it's so much machines and stuff like that, which is fine. I'm not a prude at that. I mean, I work, I stay with my finger on the pulse of what's happening today, you know?
Yeah.
So I would work with, because for instance, I have a concert where I work with a DJ we called Vintance. And it's just two of us, me and a guy called Grant Julius. He's an artist and he's a DJ. And we combine live instruments with that. And then sometimes we have a guy called Garth Erasmus joining us who also makes traditional instruments and also an artist. So the three of us, maybe three artists playing this this music. And that's, and in fact, you can get an example. There's something on Bandcamp if you want to listen to our last performance we did on Bandcamp. It's called Wind Dance, but it's spelled Winddance.
Okay. We'll check that out. The International Jazz Festival coming back, which we are excited for, of course. I have to ask you, the performances over the number of years that you've been in this industry, are there performances that stand out for you where sometimes you will look back and go, God, that was, you know, that is one that will stay in my heart, or a particular audience, a particular city? Do you have those moments, those standout moments?
Yes, they are. Look, I've always loved a guy called Gino Vannelli since I was in high school. You know, I'd like Gino Vannelli, the stuff he did in it. You know, his early stuff. So when I actually got a chance to see him and meet up with him, I gave him one of my CDs to actually see the show. That was very nice. I really enjoyed that. You know, otherwise, I enjoy the music, and if it's good, I love it. You know, I love all kinds of music from all over the world. You know, I prefer the music that come from the people, you know, the folk music, the real folk music, you know, the indigenous music of the different countries. So I've been going through all kinds of music, you know, Indian music from India, music from the Middle East, music from Africa, you know, and of course the music from Cape Town, which is our the Guma, the Klopsa. That's kind of the basis that I've put my thing on, but it runs into orchestral, it runs into, you know, it's, and the band that I've got here is a stunning band, man. They're all in their 20s, you know, they're killer musicians. I've got violin, I've got a young girl on violin, Shaima Lakay, she's on violin, and then Ruby Truter on vocals. And then I've got Kurt Bowers on drums, and Clayton Pretorius on bass. And Clayton's just turned 21. He's going to be 22. So I've got this lovely youthful energy that they love my music, because I mean, we only play my music, you know, and now and then I do a cover of my friends, you know, like Mac McKenzie and, you know, the different guys, Adel Jaffer. But basically we do my compositions, and they cover a vast, it's quite a extensive area that we cover. It's not like in one source, you know, like they covered, you know, it's like tango slipped in there and Brazilian.
Isn't it nice for you having young musicians coming up, knowing that? Because I suppose there is perhaps an assumption that younger musicians would perhaps tend to, or younger artists would perhaps tend towards newer music, perhaps, and the trend musically that we're hearing. But actually, and I have to say that sitting in this seat and speaking to a lot of young Cape Town musicians, when you ask them, who are your inspirations, it's your name that's coming up an awful lot. Really, as you said, that Guma sound, and there's such a pride in the sound of Cape Town, and no desire at all to move away towards anything else. But really, their foundations, the foundations that you and others like you have given them, means that we are producing some absolutely world-class musicians.
Of course, we are. We definitely are. I mean, the kids, I won't call them kids. They, I mean, the young adults, they are playing. They're amazing. They're really doing it. You know what I mean? And then it's such a pleasure to hear that I'm influencing people to go on to a certain path. Because you see, a lot of people when they come out of, say, classical school or jazz school, and that they tend to have blinkers on, so they just see what they've studied. They don't look when they remove the blinkers. When they come to me, I remove their blinkers, and I show them there's a whole other world. You know what I mean? It's not just that. You know what I mean? You have to expand. You can't be doing one style of music and then think that's it. There's so many different styles of music. There's so many different ways to compose. Well, I mean, me as a composer, I gather my stuff from my feelings, from my family, and from things that have happened in my life. I've been through a lot of shit as well, you know what I mean? So that helps with composition, you know. For instance, this one piece I've got, it's called Rebirth. It's something that I did when I was in 2010. I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm still standing. I refused the chemo. I didn't want to do the chemotherapy. I went the cannabis oil way and Moringa, the natural. Still standing. The guys that had chemo with me that time, they are not anymore. They're not around anymore. So when I was in hospital, I had to have my kidney removed. I had to have one kid that was full of cancer. I had to have that removed. And when I came out of this, I woke up in intensive care with this amazing melody in my head. And when that happens, when I dream about melodies and compositions, normally it's very seldom that happens. But when it does happen, and it happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, you believe me, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the piano and see what I was thinking or what I was dreaming. But this particular, I came out of this, you know, I was very morphined up, and I had this melody, and my first instinct was to get out of bed, but I couldn't because I was restrained. I mean, I had they restrained me because I was trying to pull the oxygen, the thing out of my mouth. So I was kind of restrained. But after they removed the restraints, I found that I could just reach up, and if I was in pain, I could just click that button and it would give me morphine. So now I lay down, I'm trying to remember this melody because it's going through my head. But then it goes away. It's like a dream. You know, a dream, if you don't remember it immediately, it just disappears. And then I looked up on the ceiling and I saw this beautiful piano, the keys. And I went into it for a couple of hours. And when I got home about a week and a half later, I went straight to the piano, and that's what came out. That was Rebirth. So that was one occasion where the music came to me in a dream completely, you know. And so there's so many different composition things. Sometimes you would be seeing something like maybe during a you know, even a fall, a tumble, you know, when you fall and then you suddenly hear this piece of music and then you go with it, you know. It's happened to me lots of times.
I often hear we often hear people talking about, music being God-given. And yes, I mean, anyone can kind of pick up an instrument and learn musically. But when I hear you speaking in that way, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that your purpose on earth was to bring us music. It can't be. This didn't happen by accident or chance. This was your purpose on earth. It must be. Listen, when it 45 albums in, and tours and having traveled the world and working with so many incredible people, is there anything left on your list that you still want to do that you think, no, that's still a goal of mine?
I've got lots of things I want to do still, I mean, in fact, in terms of composition, I'd love to perform with the symphony orchestra. I
Oh.
like to have a symphony orchestra do my works. In fact, one guy has done it. A guy called Karen Devrup. He took my one piece, Khoisan Symphony, and he put it to orchestra. He put it to orchestra, and that was this nice. It was a nice gesture. But what I'm working on at the moment is this young guy called Muniba Hermans, and he's in the Guma Club. Beautiful trumpeter, beautiful composer. He's got a 24 piece band with the one. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the second half. We will do all my compositions, but in big band format, So that's something to look forward to. We're going to do that. And then I've got a couple of things coming up. I'm going to Switzerland in June. Some concerts in Switzerland, June, and my wife's traveling with me, so that's wonderful. Yeah, and my wife has also been a great source of inspiration for me. I mean, we married for 41 years. Her name's
Oh,
Desna.
congratulations.
We married 41 years, and she's really been a very strong influence in my composition. I've written about 40 pieces for her. They're all called Desna, part one to part 40. And one day I'm going to do a concert that's going to have to last a week, with all
Hilton, it
the
has been such a pleasure. It really has been my absolute pleasure and absolute honor to speak to you this morning. We cannot wait to see you performing at Cape Town International Jazz Festival. Folks, please make sure that you get your tickets. The 3rd and 4th of May, organizers ESP Africa, please make sure that you get to Ticketmaster and get your tickets. Mr. Schilder, thank you very much for making time for us this morning.
much.